So the topic tonight is anger. And it's a very interesting topic in many ways. I did collect quotes, and it was interesting looking for quotes because there are so many quotes from ancient writers and from modern writers talking about the problems of anger, about what happens when you know, of course, you blow up at people, you can damage relationships, and everything you say with anger, you're going to regret. And tremendous amount of advice telling us what's bad about anger. And certainly it's true, if we think about this country and the way it formed, the Puritans, they didn't like anger at all. They didn't like sexuality, they didn't like anger.
Are they related?
In many ways. If you think about a corporate environment is one in which if you blow up in anger, you're probably going to have to talk to the HR person. You know, in other words, that kind of explicit expression of anger is going to be shamed in one way or disciplined in one way. And as often happens with a behavior that's shamed, it tends to go underground, and so you get a lot of passive-aggressive and that kind of stuff. You know, people not owning their anger, but acting out in other ways. And it's funny, even in some spiritual circles, some New Agey circles, you'll hear people say, oh, I don't get angry. I'm evolved past anger, you know. And this is something I've heard more than once, and for reasons that I'll discuss in a few minutes, I'm a bit skeptical of such claims. At the same time, anger is full of vital energy, and to say no to vital energy is to say no to life. And so, what's going on here? Anger certainly is a very basic core emotion. It's a basic core human emotion. It's actually a basic mammalian emotion. We share it with all mammals. And one way to say it is that anger taps into a place of tremendous vulnerability within us. It's the vulnerability of caring deeply about something. We only get angry when we care deeply about something. If someone is talking about, you know, insult something, a song or a book or something, X, that's the worst thing, and I've never even heard of this thing, then I have no stake in it. But if it happens to be something that's one of my favorites, and then they're trashing it, well, then you feel that, these are fighting words, you know? You feel that. We get angry over the things that we really care about. And in a way, anger is this link to this tremendously vulnerable place inside of us. It's hard to describe in words this core level of vulnerability. It's almost as if we had, say, our heart, instead of inside our chest, where it's actually out on the surface beating and just feeling everything so profoundly. And of course, the good things would feel wonderful, but the bad things would feel horrible, you know. And just to feel at that level, to be able to hold that level of vulnerability and walk through life with that level of vulnerability would require tremendous self-responsibility and tremendous awareness. And of course, another quality of that deep level of vulnerability is just the uncertainty. Any truth that I hold dear might be false. Any person I care about might be gone tomorrow. Anything that I care about might be taken from me. To be human is to be profoundly vulnerable. And anger puts us in touch. Anger is one of the ways that we get in touch with that level of vulnerability. So insofar as anger is, as it were, a kind of tool, a kind of point of access toward deeper vulnerability, it's wonderful. It's a gift. The problem comes, I would say, with what you might call the unskillful use of anger, the unskillful expression of anger. Because, of course, we live in a culture that doesn't value vulnerability and has a lot of problems with vulnerability. And in fact, for all of us, even if we're able to be vulnerable to some extent, it's always harder to go deeper in vulnerability. And so, of course, there are all these human ways that we have of shortcutting the vulnerability and expressing the anger in ways that don't put us face to face with our own vulnerability. Two of those biggest mechanisms are blame and self-righteousness. In blame, it's somebody else's fault. I don't have to take any responsibility. So unlike the deep responsibility that would be associated with dropping into that vulnerability, it's the exact opposite. No, I'm not responsible at all. I wouldn't be angry at all if he didn't do blah, blah, blah. And of course, the self-righteousness. You know, people can be so certain when they're angry. And of course, part of this is when you're angry, often the fight or flight system is stimulated, and the fight or flight system, among other things, tends to encourage a very black and white kind of thinking. We really lose our ability to appreciate subtlety and nuance when we're in fight or flight. And so get into fight or flight, and then it's clear right and wrong and absolute. And of course, that in many ways is an antidote to a lot of the uncertainty that is associated with vulnerability. And if you think about it, you know, this state, if I go into that state and I'm, you know, somebody else's fault, so I don't have any responsibility, and I get to have like this godlike absolute certainty, it's a very infantile state. And some infantile part of us is really, really happy with that. Wow, no responsibility, and I get to be godlike right. And so there's something in a way that can be very pleasurable about that. And if some for some people, there's even an addictive quality to anger because of that. Now, at this point, I want to introduce a distinction. This is a distinction I learned from a therapist at one point. I really like it. There are two kinds of people, maximizers and minimizers. Now, what do I mean by this? A maximizer is someone, if a maximizer is triggered in some way, there's an explosion of energy. The energy is maximized, and it comes out, it might come out as anger, it might come out as tears, it might come out as yelling, but somehow the person's triggered and all this energy comes out. And maximizers usually have to learn, most learn relatively early on through school and job, that, you know, it's not always the most appropriate thing to blurt out all their anger all at once, and so they'll learn to hold it back to some extent in certain situations. But then what often happens is if there's some place like work or school and they get triggered, it's like, you know, it's like the pressure cooker builds up inside of them. And sooner or later, they have to, you know, spill their guts to, you know, they have to go in the bathroom and shout, or they have to call their best friend and, can you believe what he, you know, blah, 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 yeah. And all this energy has to come out. The other group are minimizers. Minimizers, when minimizers are triggered, it's like everything goes to lockdown. Everything goes numbed out. Everything goes inward and shuts off. And so it's the opposite thing. So the minimizer never has any problem as far as negotiating social situations. You know, they get triggered. Of course, they're not going to express their anger. The problem for the minimizer is very different. It tends to be a very isolating kind of thing because, you know, the maximizer gets upset. Probably everyone in the room is going to pick up on that. The minimizer gets upset. Maybe no one in the room is going to pick up on that. Maybe not even their best friend or their lover is going to pick up on that. And so it can be a very isolating thing. So some people tend to be maximizers. Some people tend to be minimizers. Some people are one in some situations and the other in the other situations, or one with some emotions and others with other emotions. I suspect that a lot of the people who say, oh, I don't get angry, are minimizers. You know? And so it's not that, see, as it happens, I'm a minimizer. I know this about myself. And it's not that, well, I don't get angry, so then I'm done with my spiritual work. No, no, quite the opposite. I have to dig into myself to find the anger, to identify the anger and confront it and open up to it, because it's not presenting itself to me. And so it's not the end of the work at all, you know. I would say for both maximizers and minimizers, mindfulness practice can be an incredible antidote to the unhealthy, unhelpful expressions of anger. Part of mindfulness and part of what we learn in meditation also is just this ability, part of what we're practicing is this ability to introduce a space between stimulus and response. You know, a space, just a feeling of, ooh, I felt that, but before it comes out of my mouth, just that space of, wait, do I want to say this? And just even having that moment to check yourself can be so profoundly important. For the minimizer, it's much more about being mindful and notice. Wait, I felt that. And being mindful enough to follow that thread. Follow where that thread leads down into vulnerability. For both maximizers and minimizers, the point ultimately is to use the anger as a tool to access that deeper vulnerability and often a place in us that needs soothing because it was hurt by something. So I think at this point I'll read a quote. This is a quote from a poet I like very much, David White. And he's actually written a book. The book is called Consolations. He was given an assignment at one point to write about a single word. And he was told it could only be something short, like 200 or 300 words or something like this. And so he wrote this one piece. And then he was intrigued by this, and so he made it a discipline, and he wrote about several different words. Patience, loneliness, despair, you know, unrequited. All these words, he just has these little reflections on them. And so this is part of his reflection on anger. So I'll just say, listen to it now, and then I'll pass it out and you can read it. Anger is the deepest form of compassion for another, for the world, for the self, for a life, for the body, for a family, and for all our ideals, all vulnerable and all possibly about to be hurt. Stripped of physical imprisonment and violent reaction, anger is the purest form of care. The internal living flame of anger always illuminates what we belong to, what we wish to protect, and what we are willing to hazard ourselves for. What we usually call anger is only what is left of its essence when we are overwhelmed by its accompanying vulnerability, when it reaches the lost surface of our mind or body's incapacity to hold it, when it touches the limit of our understanding. What we name anger is actually only the incoherent physical incapacity to sustain this deep form of care in our outer daily life, the unwillingness to be large enough and generous enough to hold what we love helplessly in our bodies and in our minds with the clarity and breadth of our whole being. What we have named anger on the surface is the violent outer response to our inner powerlessness, a powerlessness connected to such a profound sense of rawness and care that it can find no proper outer body or identity or voice or way of life to hold it. What we call anger is often simply the unwillingness to live in the full measure of our fears or of our not knowing, in the face of simply being alive and loving those with whom we live. Our anger breaks to the surface most often through our feeling that something is profoundly wrong with this powerlessness and vulnerability. Anger too often finds its voice strangely through our incoherence and our inability to speak, but anger in its pure state is a measure of the way we are implicated in the world and made vulnerable. Anger truly felt at its center is the essential living flame of being alive and fully here. It is a quality to be followed to its source, to be prized, to be tended, an invitation to finding a way to bring that source more fully into the world through making the mind clearer and more generous, the heart more compassionate, and the body larger and strong enough to hold it. What we call anger on the surface only serves to define its true underlying essence by being a complete but absolute mirror opposite of its true internal essence. So that's a lot to take in. So I'll pass this out and then I'll read through the quotes on the back. On the other side, we have a quote from the great reformer Martin Luther. When I am angry, I can pray well and preach well. Very interesting. Seen a quote from Shakespeare, men in rage strike those that wish them the best. Henry Ward Beecher, the great preacher, says, never forget what a man says to you when he is angry. And that's fascinating. Never forget what a person says to you when they're angry. Not forget it like, you know, I'm going to spitefully remember it, but it can be such a profound revelation, the vulnerability that comes out in anger. And I guess I would say related to that, it's so important to remember with friends, with lovers, that when someone is angry with us, they're actually in touch with tremendous vulnerability. And of course, it's hard to remember that if, you know, you're feeling defensive yourself, but really to be able to meet that anger and see through to that vulnerability that they're holding in that moment can be a profoundly generous act to offer to somebody. Booker T. Washington says, I shall allow no man to belittle my soul by making me hate him. He was such a noble individual, Booker T. Washington. Carl Jung says, a man who has not passed through the inferno of his passions has never overcome them. Elizabeth Kenney says, he who angers you conquers you. The great Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says, it is important to feel the anger without judging it, without attempting to find meaning in it. It may take many forms, anger at the healthcare system, at life, at your loved one for leaving. Life is unfair. Death is unfair. Anger is the natural reaction to the unfairness of loss. Maya Angelou says, bitterness is like cancer. It eats up the host. But anger is like fire. It burns all clean. Yoko Ono says, experiencing sadness and anger can make you feel more creative, and by being creative, you can get beyond your pain and negativity. There are two great ones from Gloria Steinem, the great feminist. Anger is energizing. The opposite of anger is depression, which is anger turned inward. And then this one I love. The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Wayne Dyer says, there's nothing wrong with anger provided you use it constructively. And Malcolm Gladwell says, the injunction to be nice is used to deflect criticism and stifle the legitimate anger of dissent.